Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Fearscape Media Network, exploring the unknown, one podcast at a time.
Hello, dear friends. I'm your head mister, Lord Stefan Gearhart.
And I am your co-mister, the man with no name, Lance Wayne.
And together we are the Misters of the Misters of the Dark! Don't shut up! Ugh, whatever. Join us wherever you stream your favorite podcasts, or go to mistersofthedark.com, where we'll be discussing all things horror, from films and books to everything in betweensies. We also have the occasional victim. I mean, guest.
Only on the Fearscape Media Network.
Shut up, Lance! Oh, I always get the last laugh. Ladies and gentlemen, to another fantastic episode of The Convergence Enigma with Josh and Stefan. This is Stefan, your host for the evening, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Josh Rutledge. As you can tell, we don't have time for niceties because we got one heck of an interview tonight, don't we, Josh?
We certainly do. When this person came to us or came into our existence, wow, could not even imagine what you all are going to hear tonight.
Yeah, we're going to be talking to Kendra Starr, and we're going to be talking about, I mean, just the history of the world, like the lichens, Hellier,
Darrow.
Y'all just get ready. Here comes Kendra Starr.
All right. Thank you so much for sticking around, everybody. We have Kendra Starr here with us today. Going to be talking about some amazing contact that they've had with, I think, Kendra, you referred to them as the Lichens. Is that correct?
Yep. Or Lyconians.
Lyconians. Oh, I like that. That sounds amazing. So I guess let me kind of kick things off in saying, where to go first? I guess
by saying thank you for coming on the show. Right. That's the big thing I want to say is thank you.
And really, and your courage. Thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
So, you're welcome.
So who are the Lyconians?
So the Lyconians are actually half human, half wolf, bipedal people. They're essentially humanoids, but they're able to take the form of a human just fine. I mean, it would be essentially you're a werewolf, but they don't want to be called this.
Right.
Yeah.
Are they what some people often refer to as dog people or dog men?
Yeah, they are. But then there's another species that are like the dog has. These, they do not have any hair on their bodies. So this would be, you know, species like, it would be Anubis the times of Egypt. And they even were working alongside Alexander the Great.
Yeah.
And at one point, I suppose they went into the inner earth. That part I do not know.
Yeah, I've heard the term Anubians as well, based off of those that were like Anubis. So very, very interesting. And I do want to preface as well that we came across you guys here with some content that we saw on a Hellier board, and how this all kind of relates to what's going on with Hellier, which of course is a big, huge mystery for all of us in the paranormal field that we all are trying to take part in. And we were very, very interested in the information being put forth there. And Josh, did you want to talk a little bit about that at all?
Yeah, sorry, my kids are actually fighting really, really bad in the background right now, so I don't know if any of that's going to come through, so I apologize if it does.
It's all part of reality, man.
But no, yeah, sorry, question. I was, sorry, Stefan, can you repeat your question again?
Oh, just talking about the stuff on the Hellier board that we came across and how that was interesting to us.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, that's I guess where we were really first met, Kendra, is the post that you all made on the Hellier board, talking about you know, these beings and their potential relationship to what was going on in Hellier, as well as I think the potential relationship to the Shaver mystery of the Darrow and the Tarot and etc.
Oh yeah, it's all there.
So. So I just, so they, I guess, where do the Lyconians, am I saying that correctly? Lyconian?
Lyconians.
Lyconian.
I think Lyconians. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. And where are the Lyconians currently primarily residing? Are they hollow earthers, inner earthers, subterranean?
Well, okay, so they're primarily subterranean, and they are located in the hollow earth. So I think the thing that people need to understand is there's inner earth, and then there's hollow earth. So you might have heard those terms a lot, and also middle earth. But we're not talking about Lord of the Rings here.
Right, and what would be the difference between those, like if you could sum it up real quickly for those that don't know?
Yeah, sure. So inner earth is what would be kind of this in the earth's crust. They're about 800 miles apart. They're honeycomb structures, and this is where some advanced civilizations live. This is not where Lycaonians live. Lycaonians live where the central sun, or what they call the black sun. And this, and by the way, it's not like our sun. It's a little smaller. It's maybe a smoky reddish color, and it is basically it's the source of energy that was left there when the earth was created. It's essentially, I guess, it's holding everything together. I'm not a scientist, so I cannot claim to know how that it is all holding itself together, but that is what is there, and it does not set. It is a continuous day.
Right, so this is similar to what was in the Shaver mystery and the Smoky God and things like that, the power source and light as well.
Yeah, the Smoky God with Olaf Jonsson and his father, they were traveling in the Arctic. They were on a boat, and they went on a trip, and they crossed the threshold which brought them to the Hollow Earth. And that's how they arrived there. And they had become friends with these giants. I mean, there are people that are much, much, much taller than us that are residing in the Hollow Earth. And they made friends with these beings, and then eventually, you know, the story goes that Olaf Jonsson and his father returned, but he lost his father along the way, and subsequently, everyone thought he was crazy when he came back out.
So, do you know if there are there people like, you know, what we would consider humans? Do they also reside in the Hollow Earth, or is it really just those kind of older are races that live there?
They do. There are monks situated in Tibet, right? They have these monasteries that are connected to the mountains. That's why it's built that way, so that they can go back and forth into inner earth. And this is where you would find Shambhala, right? And I think there are two different types of Shambhala cities. So you have Greater Shambhala and you have Lesser Shambhala. But Greater Shambhala would be in the hollow earth, and the Lesser Shambhala would be in the inner earth. Hmm. But this was originally built by the Draconians, and we will get into the history of the origins of these Draco and the origins of humanity. It's really, really important and fascinating stuff. But let me just back up a little bit with the Lycaonians. So these beings are originally from a planet called Sector. I think that it's sort of where Sirius is. And at the same time, at some point, they had been sent here to this planet, into the Hollow Earth, and they created their civilization there. But they are primarily subterranean, and they do come up to the surface often. And when they do, they have regular jobs, just like us. And you would never, ever even think that the person living next door to you could be a Lycan.
Right.
I mean, nobody in a million years would ever even fathom the existence of a Lycan, other than just in our, you know, our stories and TV shows, and, you know, just the whole American Werewolf in London type of deal, yeah. Underworld, et cetera, et cetera.
So are all of them self-aware, the ones that are here on our plane, or are there some that have, like, passed on, like, had a kid with a human or things like that, and these ancestors are not aware? Is that something, or do they try to stay pretty honest with their lineage as possible?
Oh, they're very much aware of their lineage, and they're very, very good people, too. They're very mm-hmm. funny. they love their jokes. They have a lot of different kinds of traditions in Hollow Earth, and they are very they're very tribal. In fact, they have a dance that the younger ones do when you first would become a Lycaonian. You are initiated into this dance you have to learn called the Haka dance. So this actually originates from the Maori tribe in New Zealand. It's really interesting. You got these guys, they have tattoos all over their faces. They're sticking their tongues out. And the reason why they do this is usually what they're doing before they go off and they fight these Draconians. Not even kidding. Mm. So this is also, you'll see this in weddings and, like, you know, big games, football games. Sometimes we'll do the Haka dance. It's pretty well known around the world.
This is the Ashuka. I mean, I don't want to offend anybody, but, you know, that's like the, like Dwayne the Rock Johnson and those guys do that from New Zealand. Is that what we're talking about?
I think so. If they're putting their legs on the floor and they're sticking their tongues out.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Jason Momoa does that.
Yeah,
with his family. Mm-hmm. Like it's fat. Oh, I love it. It's like one of my favorite things.
Yeah, very. Get you all riled up. So.
Mm-hmm. Boy, so if anybody could be a Lycaonian, it'd be Jason Momoa.
Well, they will do that if they're greeting another race that's visiting them, and they actually live next to the elves. Now, nobody really knows this. I don't think anybody knows this at all. But their real name, the elves, are called the Akutoks. And the Akutoks live in three different or four different regions in Hollow Earth, which is their territory. And one of them is called Norden. The others, I can't remember. It's spelled N-O-H-R-I-N. And I'm not allowed to say who, like, the names, but yeah.
It's okay.
The elves that are there.
I feel like that you probably have much more information than we can fit into a single show. So I'm trying to think about how to strategically ask questions so that we get, give you the opportunity to say what you need to say. So I want to make, so you mentioned before the Draconians and the origin of humanity.
Oh, yeah.
No light topic, right? And so I don't know if you want to take just a few minutes and talk about who are the Draconians. Are they what we refer to as the lizard people oftentimes? And what is kind of their relationship with the Lycaonians?
Okay, well, first, right off the bat, their relationship with the Lycaonians, not good at all. They don't like each other. A lot of the race of Draco, they tend to be very aggressive and they're war-oriented as a tribe, right? But without, we're not going to be spacist here or racist,
Yeah.
We need to roll back hundreds and thousands of years, maybe millions of years ago, to the time when this all happened. Draco originated from some other universe or reality, and they were really good with space travel. And then at some point, they arrived in the Lyran system. Okay, but that's where people originally came from. So first, in order to understand the origin of Draconians, we need to understand the origin of ourselves. Because a lot of people think, we started in Africa and we, our race goes all the way back to then. But that's only half true, only because human beings were brought here, essentially. But we originally started in Lyra, in a planet called Bila. So the Draco had, what happened, the Draco arrived on their ships into the Lyran system, and they have an understanding, or at least they have a belief, that they own whatever they see, they own the galaxy, because their ancestors taught them that they have the right to own and to conquer. And they also, they are able to remember the memories of their ancestors, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So all of this is ingrained to them and taught to them when they're very, very young. And it's really brutal because the mother does not, she will just abandon the offspring. And then this small Draco will train if he survives, or she. they're androgynous beings, so we have to kind of touch on that in a moment. But so this Draco, this little Draco, will, if he survives, will train with the brothers, and they are just already learning to be, killer army soldiers. They're very, 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 very war oriented. So that's what I mentioned before. Mm-hmm. So we were really good at agriculture, and this is not human beings. This is something like human beings. We did not come into the picture yet. Homo sapiens is not until Mars, because as you'll see, Draco decided to create the image of human of themselves, but we'll get to that. Well, when I have to back up here a little bit. On Bila, these our people, our ancestors, we are in descendants. Sorry, they were freaking out when the ship had entered there in the sky. They saw this and they demanded to know who they were. But the Draconians were saying, no, we're just going to, come in and take your things. And there was a huge misunderstanding. And so they started fighting them, and it became a big problem. And eventually, after they kept on fighting them, we just didn't have a flying chance because we hadn't developed ship travel at that time. So I guess eventually we kind of figured it out along the way, but then what ended up happening was there were 110 different colonies that came together to form, ta-da, the Galactic Federation, which is where everyone's like, who is the Galactic Federation? No, they're not just Pleiadians.
Right.
It is, yeah. So everyone came together and they decided, well, you know, this is a big problem. Because the Draconians had essentially blown up 3 planets out of the 12 planets that were there. And they were like, uh-oh, okay, this is really, really, really bad. So we started fighting them and rebelling against them. But meanwhile, there were three groups that did not want to help us at all because they have a belief in service to self or non-interference. And these groups are mainly associated with the Orion groups, Regella groups, and Capella. Regella, Capella, and Orion. And so there was a huge war that just came out of this. The Martians and the Maldekians and the Atlans are the three groups that did not want to help. And the Atlans were made up of people from the Pleiades star system, right? Mm-hmm. So, and these Draco were pushed back, but not enough at that time. It just kept happening. And meanwhile, you have this massive dispute between the beings of Mars and the beings of Maldek, because there was a planet there at that time. This is where this whole, you know, Nibiru kind of, or Maldek destruction thing comes in this story. So
this is I don't mean to interrupt, but this is the planet that is currently the asteroid belt.
Well, yeah, Maldek was destroyed because of a massive ice comet that the Dracos just propelled towards. They wanted to propel it towards Mars, but it went off course because Jupiter's gravitation pulled it, and it basically caused the explosion of Maldek, which then in turn it ripped away the atmosphere from Mars, because this comet is absolutely massive, and it ripped away the atmosphere from Mars, and subsequently then the comet itself became Venus. This is so long ago.
So
where are we now? We have to keep on track, because it is a lot.
So I think where you left off is that there were the Atlanteans and the Martians didn't want to get involved, before I interrupted you.
Yeah. The Atlans, the Maldekians, and the Martians. So the Maldekians and the Martians were really, they didn't like each other at all. But because of the massive catastrophe that happened while this war was going on, they became refugees, and they asked the Martians for help. So the Martians said, okay, come on, you know, you can come in. Mm-hmm. But there were disputes that happened, and it got so bad. And meanwhile, the Draconians are still doing their thing. There was eventually, out of the Federation, a council called the Hatam Council from the Andromeda Galaxy that came in and said, okay. And they are basically, you know, think of it as the empire that's, you know, making a lot of decisions with all of the councils. So this main group decided to, they said, okay, well, Draconians, you can go to this Earth and you can be there. So they said, fine, okay. They went there. Now, this is where their origin starts on Earth. So actually, they were here first, not us. But still, it doesn't mean that we should be treated and the way that we are being treated today. So they had a civilization on the earth, and this is where then Lemuria, this continent, Lemuria comes in. Now, I think it was a different name, because eventually the scientific study behind the search for Lemuria, it turned out that this Lemuria was based off of the study of lemurs. It was a confusion. So,
yeah. Yeah. That, right? The guy that first brought it into the public realm, he created the name.
Yes, exactly. So yeah. There was a little confusion, but this continent really truly existed, and these reptilians or draconians were colonizing it. They also brought dinosaurs, because you see, they themselves were the ones that created dinosaurs.
But I was going to ask.
Yeah. The dinosaurs were on Mars at the time, and they brought them here. So they colonized these animals. So the thing is, what draconians create things to control it, and because they believe that whatever they create is beneath them, it should be used as either a source of a resource for food or for other means. Right. You know, so they had these dinosaurs there, and at the same time, then meanwhile, we still have the issue happening between the Maldekians and the Martians and the refugees that had suffered from that catastrophe from the Draconians. And eventually they were not getting along, it was getting bad, and the Hatan Council stepped in again and said, well, okay, we'll send the Atlans, the Maldekians, here on the earth. So they did that. And then now why they did that is so that they could buy time to build their resources to fight these Draconians, to build their empire and stuff like that, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because there was just chaos everywhere. This would be the very first World War I on the planet. They were blowing things up. Everybody was just blowing each other up. And it was just unbridled insanity. So, so these Draco in Lemuria, they had a big problem, because then the Maldekians that were there, they started having an issue with the dinosaurs, because it started interfering with their culture, because the dinosaurs started killing the other people, and their people were killing the dinosaurs. So this obviously didn't set well with the Draco, and then there was all this chaos that ensued in what I mentioned before. Right. Meanwhile, now you have the Martians eventually arrived, and now you have these people on the planet and everything who are trying to colonize and expand, but they're just getting, you know, they're getting in each other's way. So at one point, though, there was an agreement that the Draconians could create something in their image. So they really wanted to do this, because all of the other beings were mixing DNA and manipulating it. We are the 22nd modification of this. We're the primary Homo sapiens now is the 22nd time that we had been manipulated.
Mm. So, yeah, a lot of this reminds me of the Sumerians and the Enki and Lil stuff. So much of this is just, I can wrap my head around it using that.
Yeah, if some of it sounds a little out of order, forgive me. It's a lot of information that's really jam-packed. It's hard to it's always hard to put together. But essentially what happened, though, was that's how the origin of Draco started in Lemuria. And meanwhile, the Lycans, though, eventually they came to Hollow Earth, because they are originally not from here. But then, of course, you know, there were a lot of different races in Hollow Earth. And this is all stemming from all these genetic manipulations. In fact, the Bigfoot was still a remnant of our ancestors. The creation between human DNA and all this other mixture with beings from Sirius or the Rigelian star system. They were all in on it, even the Pleiades. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's not very fair.
And how do you like, you know, tribes like the Dogon fit into this? You know, they seem to me to be possibly connected to the Lycans.
Oh, yeah, it could be possible. The Dogon tribe, though, is not anything to do with dogs. I think you're thinking of
just
dogs. But the Dogon tribe, I think, were specifically dealing with the fish type, mm-hmm. the aquatic things.
I just wondered because you had mentioned Sirius, so I was curious if there was a connection there.
Well, I think there is a connection because it is known as the Dog Star, and Sirius does have a connection with the Lycans. I do believe so. I can't confirm that, but I know that they came from the planet called Sector.
Right.
So there's a little story there, like how that happened, and then they were basically sent here because there was a tragedy that happened on Sector, and the council there decided to kind of enclose them in these spheres and then kind of send them to Hollow Earth to live there instead.
That's what I was going to ask, was the means of transportation. And so you're saying there were these sort of spheres?
Yep. Well, I mean, as far as I know, that they were enclosed in spheres. And some of these beings have really advanced science. So the elves, they have something they call a magical science.
Right.
I mean, I don't even know how they're doing that. It's some crazy Harry Potter stuff.
Yeah, I was like, I've heard the concept of magic and science working hand in hand.
Yes, yes.
And the mention of spheres makes me wonder if, you know, so the spheres that people see today, right, in UFO sightings and such, are they also related to this? Or are other people being banished still to Hollow Earth?
Okay, so those spheres that are coming out, they sometimes have something to do with creating crop circles. They're called brights. They're usually about 9 feet off the ground, and there is a particular video that you can see one creating a crop circle. But one interesting thing to note about crop circles is that they are not, most of them are created in the area of England, because this is where the original headquarter, the Black Priesthood would be, with this royal bloodline. And that the crop circles are not made for us. They are made for them. That's why most England,
It always seemed to me like they're made to be seen from the air. So either they're like, you know, map coordinates or just, you know, come back later, no room in the inn type signals. So
yep, exactly. So there's one famous crop circle. It is if you type in gray crop circle on Google Images, you can find it. But basically it's of a gray alien, and he's holding
seen that.
So if you look at it, you'll see that on his left side there's three stars. So it's symbolizing, depicting the Orion star system, which is where these guys are coming from. But they're also in Hollow Earth as well. And they are, their origin is an entirely different thing that is way too in depth to get into today, but a different time for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to touch a little more on the Draconians, and then we can talk more about the Lycaonians. The Draco, a lot of people are probably wondering, what is the difference between Draconians and reptilians, and what about reptilian shapeshifters, right?
Yep.
So the thing is, when there was an idea when the DNA was being manipulated and shared by different races. The Regellians got in on it. The Syrians were more than happy to help with it. And at the time, after Lemuria had sunk, basically because of so many explosions and all that, the reptilians had the idea that, I suppose it can be synonymous, but you'll see what I mean later. The Draconians as reptilians can be synonymous terms, but they had the idea of maintaining their bloodline so that they could have 50-50 DNA, half reptilian and half human. So they had the idea of creating blue bloods. And so what they did was they kind of snuck up and interbred with different, they created different races, mainly taking they abducted the blonde-haired, blue-eyed kings or priests. And then they kind of made their own way and kept their bloodline. And at the same time, though, they were looked up to at the time as these reptilian gods, and they're all depicted in many, many, many different ways. Of course, in Sumeria, you have many different sculptures depicting reptilians, and people at the time saw them as reptilian gods, and they were afraid of them. They weren't even allowed to really look at them sometimes.
So this grabbing the blonde hair, blue eyes, and things like that, is that maybe where we get our tall blonde contactees from?
Well, one thing I forgot to mention is the reason why is because supposedly blonde haired and blue eyed individuals are more susceptible to being manipulated. They're
That's
more
me.
Either easier to act. Yeah.
It's true.
But the tall blondes you're asking about, I think they're associated with those people from the Pleiades, they tend to be, or Nordics. Yeah.
Yes.
They're tall, blonde hair, blue eyes. So yeah, Draconians have, they fancied that.
Gotcha.
They needed to eat, but they were killing people. And at the time, it was too much. It wasn't working out. Their rulership needed to be concealed in a way. Their forms needed to be concealed. But they still needed to... They couldn't, you know, they wanted to eat people. Just what they did, though, is that the council decided, well, all right, let's take the wild boar and mix human DNA with it, and let's create the domesticated pig. So they would eat pig, and that would help temporarily until they could use a sacrificial victim and eat them. This is why pork or pig is forbidden this is why the Jews don't eat that.
Right, why it was considered unclean.
Because, yeah.
That's very interesting.
Yep. Yeah, we actually are eating ourselves in a way. We're eating bacon, things like that. So they're often eating pork a lot to maintain their form, but this whole reptilian shape-shifting thing, that's where it comes from. So in the royal bloodline, the top reptilian female is Ashoka Ashkenazi. And she's the queen reptilian, the mother of the whole of all of them. Anyway, they had to expand their rulership, and they expanded it all the way, all around the world. And from the inner earth, it was really easy to do this because they came up into Tibet. They ruled over there. They ruled over in Europe. They ruled all over the place. And this is why the dragon symbolization is everywhere.
Yeah.
And this is, it's everywhere, and there's no explanation as to how it kind of, became all known in our old stories, things like that. But that is why.
I wanted to just, I know that you wanted to talk a bit more about the Draconian folks, or the Lycaonians. But I wanted to know, I don't know that I heard, how did humans end up on Earth?
Well, so humans began on Mars. The Homo sapiens was created on Mars, and then they were essentially brought here. But at the same time, there was another race. So this is where the Aldebarans or the Sumerians come in, because they were still intermixing with this other human DNA. And eventually they had created slaves to mine this gold for them and so on. And it kind of became interconnected and spread. And we became tribes. And wait, I'm sorry, can you also ask your question again in a way? How did the origin of humanity come to Earth?
Yeah, how did humans end up on Earth?
Okay. I think I answered it.
Yeah, but... You did.
Okay. Okay, I wasn't sure. I was just like, wait, where in the puzzle are we right now?
Yeah. So the Draconians bring humans here, because you mentioned about how they create things that they want to control or have dominion over. So do they have dominion over humanity, or is that different?
They had dominion over humanity for sure. They were just using us as slaves, and they still use us as slaves today in a different kind of way. But they're still eating people too. They're eating children. And the reason why is because, one, they're kind of free of pollutants, and the second reason is because of when they get very scared, they produce a really strong adrenaline response. It's very sad and messed up, but this is why hundreds and thousands of people and children go missing. Now, you did mention about people going missing into portals.
Yeah.
And this is also still happening. You know, where people will just walk into random spots of this electromagnetic activity where there are gates, and will just kind of walk into the other part of them, walk into the other side, if you will, into hollow Earth by accident. Sometimes it's an accident, and other times it's probably the Daros, which they are also kidnapping people and eating them too. And this is happening, of course, all over all of these interconnected tunnels underground. It's absolutely insane. But
Josh, didn't our friend Z, that gave us a lot of information when he gave us the history of the Darrow and the Tarot, didn't he speculate or say that the Darrow originally came from the Draconians, I believe?
I don't remember that, honestly.
But... Way to use that photographic memory, Josh.
But no, I mean, he was also somewhat of a historian on that topic, and was constantly looking at where did a lot of this stuff come from. But I mean, most of his communication was from a frontline person placed on the front lines, if you will, of this kind of war that's happening underneath the earth almost on an everyday basis. So
Yeah, well, Daros are something else. They're about 4 to 5 feet tall, maybe sometimes six, but usually 5 feet tall. And here's something interesting. In Greece there is a mountain, and there's an area called Daros Oros. But it is basically where the Daros have one of their settlements inside, I suppose. So a Daros, Oros, Daros. Yeah, that's
interesting.
Yeah, they are near the Devil's Bridge in that area in Greece. So if someone is hiking around in that area, I would probably stay away from a Daros.
Yeah.
Mount Daros, yeah.
So, I mean, I'm going to be honest. I mean, right now I'm thinking never go into a cave is basically the message of today's show. But are there, so it sounds like though that the Lycaonians, for some reason I can't say that right. are on our side, right? They don't want to hurt us.
No, not at all. They are absolutely on our side. They're very much allies, and they do what they can to protect people, but they can't. They're not intervening to start some kind of revolution or anything like that. You see, the Lycans, they have very, very, very strict laws in their own community. And a lot of them are death laws, to be honest with you. So that means, you know, no, they don't have any money. And if you would be associated with using money down there, or they catch you trying to do something like that, that's a bad thing. They don't have any racism either, and they're very they're just very much into keeping their harmony in their tribe, because especially with hatred, if someone is very hateful, you see, they're really based on love. Even though they have death laws, it stems from a very, very, very old traditions. So if someone is going to murder someone, they're going to be, you know, killed for that. But hatred is like a sickness to them. And that's why if you would ever, ever visit them, they require, and most tribes, I think, in Inner Earth or even Hollow Earth, really require you to be pure of intent, pure of mind, and you have a pure heart, which means you're not going to harm people. You're not going to harm animals. You're good to yourself. You're good to others. You do the best you can. They really believe in Jesus Christ. So they believe in the teachings of Christ, because Christ has the purest teachings of love. And it's really based on love. So there is that, and you know, the thing with Hollow Earth is that it's so hugely complex. There are so many layers that I would absolutely love to do more shows with you about this, because mm-hmm. we haven't even scratched the surface. I mean, we really haven't. And I think the most important thing for people to know that are listening to this is that, just know that you are much more powerful than you think, because originally we were supposed to have 12 strand DNA, but we don't, because the Orion groups took 10 of them away, and they did this because they knew that as a united people, we would find out our true origins and how, you know, we're very compassionate people. We have this compassion gene, and they don't really have that. They don't understand what compassion is. So it's one of the reasons why gray aliens, when they are abducting individuals, they're trying to study the soul and compassion. They don't understand how it works. They have a lack of emotion. Yeah. So this is because actually the Draco have, you know, kind of manipulated with their genes so many times that the grays are actually a dying race, and they're trying to, you know, they're trying to understand why that's happening, and what they're just becoming degenerated, a degenerative race, kind of like the Daros. I don't know, can't confirm if they come from reptilians or Dracos or not, but they are called Daros because it's a short term for a degenerative robot. They right. just become just sickly over time. They are still intelligent. They are very aggressive, and they do not care. They thrive off of extreme sexuality mm-hmm. with themselves and other things, and they do heinous acts, just really atrocious things. So Richard Sharpshaver, when he was experiencing those things, he wasn't kidding. What he saw and experienced, and also what other witnesses who contacted him experienced, such as the woman from France who actually went into the wrong area.
Yeah.
Look, there's an elevator in Hellier when Amy was talking about the house that had an elevator that went down. Yeah, that's one of those things. You just got to be careful.
Well, I stumbled across an old radio interview of Ray Palmer and Richard Shaver. And in there, they talk about there being places in New York, New Jersey, and Chicago where the elevators, if you press a series of buttons a couple of different ways, it'll actually take you below the basement and into tunnels underneath. So
something like if you press the button twice or in a different way, you will go down there. But why would you want to go down there? Don't do that.
Don't do that. don't go into old building elevators and just start pressing buttons.
Yeah,
don't
you can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave.
Yeah, exactly. That song was playing the other day. My partner was like, oh, wow. Yes.
So is there, because we've only got a few minutes left in this particular show, and by all means, we would love to have you back. But
for sure.
So two primary questions is, number one, do you think there's a way for humanity, the broader humanity, to learn the origins in a safe way? And can we do anything about it? You know, can we stop these Draco from eating us and such?
Yeah, we can. We just have to unite together. At some point, humanity has to realize that this is not okay. We have to say no. And this is a operative conditioning that has been going on for so long, and almost just too long. And it is possible. Humanity is, I think, starting to become more and more aware. We do have a disclosure process going on, but this was actually a very shameful event that happened recently on May 17th. The Congress that had a hearing had really, really bad representatives who said that there is no evidence for these things. They don't know it. Yeah. And yet we have a gargantuan amount of military witnesses who have testified, and we've spent millions of dollars on this. So you have like a really false representation.
Yep.
And they're lying, or it's the fact that they really don't know, in which case these people should not be representing this information in Congress. But these people need to be briefed in modules of all of the historical and governmental events that happened, like the Rendlesham incident with these UFOs and stop calling it unidentified aerial phenomenon. It's just UFO. You know, it's just not necessary.
That's just marketing.
it is possible to do this. We just have to kind of stand together and unite together. Be the best person that you can be. You know, people are not always going to believe this or listen to it, and that's okay. As I always will say, do your own research. And also, people grow in their own way. A lotus flower, you can't force it to bloom, right? It'll just bloom on its own. So part of the thing with this stuff is that you can't force someone to believe in it. You can't be like, you can't slap them in the face and be like, come on, wake up and smell the coffee. It's incredibly complex. And I think that in time, people will maybe kind of get the idea and the picture, but other than that, right now we are in a very precarious situation, and I would advise people to be careful of this task force idea, because I don't think it's the most positive intention behind it. I think there are hidden intentions, and there has been a lot of discussion about these. You know, they say, oh, it's a threat to national security, these things. But actually, the secrecy is a threat to national security. And
100%.
They just don't want to tell the public right now. It's all watered down tremendously. But it's very possible that we know how corrupt a lot of government entities can be, and they can utilize it and make it look like a threat. So I do believe it's possible that we are looking at something like that in the near future. but because what I can tell, what I can say is that the Lycans have said that this, not assuming that this is the start of a fake invasion, but they said it is the start. So since the point on May 17th of the hearing, it is the start. And whether that's disclosure or a fake alien invasion or a combination of the two remains to be seen. So that's the most important thing about that. I know that you guys have to wrap it up soon, so I just want to get a few more things out about Lycaonians if you want to ask me.
Yeah, anything? Sure. We got about 6 minutes left, so.
Oh, maybe, good. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so you can ask me.
Sure. I guess, how did, and this is maybe the wrong point in the interview to ask this question, but how did you come to meet the Lycaonians?
Oh boy. Well, my partner and I were originally and still are paranormal investigators, and we had been studying this story associated with vampires. I was really curious about the Ouroboros. Of course, come to find out, the Ouroboros, or the concept of immortality, is associated with Hollow Earth because of the concept of time there, and also the rejuvenation, the healing that happens in some of those areas, and I guess some of the technologies. Mm-hmm. Hitler and his SS group were also very interested in something else called the Vril. And
yeah,
we
the Vril
will
society.
Yeah, if you want to do an interview about that, we can, because there is also a lot to be said about Vril, which Vril is not a being, but a source of energy, right? So
yeah, we can definitely do that sometime, because we have not, we've only lightly touched on the Vril society and all of that. So
yeah, let's do that, because I have a lot of information about the Thule society and the Vril society and all that. You know, the profile picture that I have is Maria. She was one of the people on the psychic team that was involved with this Thule society and the Vril and all of that. So it's very interesting. Where are we again?
I was asking how you came to meet the Lycans.
That's right. Yeah. So, in my interest of studying vampires and vampirism, I was really interested in Europe and the whole thing about Dracula and everything. And so was my partner. So we discovered this blog called it doesn't really have a title per se. It's called Vampires Among Us, and it's about a guy named Mio Quava, who is basically who meets this vampire named Regina, or Regina Abraham. So we were really interested in this blog because there were mountains of evidence and information about vampires and how it extended all the way back into our early history, you know, from the plague on in Europe and so on. It's very, very, very in-depth and interesting. And so eventually one thing led to another. And then we met some individuals, and these individuals led us to individuals who led us there. So that's all I can say.
Understood.
That's all I can say about that. But the vampires definitely exist, but there's two different kinds of them. So it's not likely that someone would really come across them right now, but that is a fact over in that department. But one important thing I can't forget about the Lycans is people ask, do they change with the full moon?
Oh.
And are they affected by silver? So first of all, no, they have absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with the full moon or the moon at all. And as far as silver affecting them, no, it could be a bullet. They're affected by anything and they can be injured. They're not essentially immortal, but they live for a very long time. So about 600, 700 years. Mm. They live that long. A lot of beings in inner Earth end up living that long. And I think it has to do with the way that the atmosphere is and this electromagnetism in that area. Because if you go there and you come back out, you may end up inadvertently pulling a tree branch to yourself with this electromagnetism that is left over on your body. And so you'll just be walking by Joe Mo and it'll just be like, bam, smack him in the face. Wow. With this tree branch. What? Oh, I'm sorry. It was my electromagnetism.
So we got about a minute left and I was going to ask if the Lycaonians could have one message for us. What would you say they'd want us to know as humanity at large?
Love yourself. Really, their whole thing is about love.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, yeah. Kendra Starr. Thank you so much. We absolutely have to do this again. I would say two or three more times, because we're just going to need to make a series of this. So, but thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. All of the history and all of the information that you've given us. I mean, I have so many doors that just opened up that I'm ready to start
same
jumping into. So, but thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely.